This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Let me start with my headline tonight. I'm retiring, so let me tell you why.
You look great, by the way, if I'm allowed to say that. Unbelievable.
I'm not allowed to say this, but I'll say it. You're beautiful. I get in trouble for this, but you're great looking, obviously.
I once was an altar boy at a mental institution here in Philadelphia. I remember the priest said, I don't mind these people unless they, except when they touch me. Jamie, I see you standing next to the guy in the beat right there.
Tim Scott.
Oh, it's the other center. Tim Scott, what am I saying? Big mistake. Mistaken identity. I reached for an historical analogy and used a bad one.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And as a woman, I want to say this. I loved working with Chris Matthews. But for now, I'll just say I'll miss him every night at 7 p.m., but I remain his friend.
I have been and always shall be your friend.
Of all the television personalities I've ever known as a viewer, Chris is the most human.
Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Chris gave us his all every night, and that's why we were wiping tears from our eyes last night.
Get a life, will you, people? For crying out loud, it's just a TV show.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I will be casting my ballot for Joe Biden.
I'm going to guarantee you this is not last year's scene of this guy. You're going to take care of the gun problem with me. You're going to be the one that leads this effort.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Corey, can you tell him that the impression of Mini Mike, all of us would love to see a replay of that.
And they all said, oh, do that again where you get down low. That was a big hit, but you do it once and you sort of say, that was nice, don't do it again.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
It's Super Tuesday. Or as Joe Biden would say, it's Super Thursday. 14 states are voting today for their candidates for president in the Republican and Democrat primaries. More action, obviously, on the Democrat side. Get out and vote if you're one of the 40% of the nation for whom this today is the primary day. 844-500-4242. 508 says, in Massachusetts, why is Bill Weld, the former governor, listed on the ballot before Trump? Doesn't it belong alphabetically? No, they draw straws for ballot position in Massachusetts.
I hope they draw paper straws. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
Yeah, very, very good, Grace. Very good. All right, Grace is here. Again, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Carter Page, the former Trump aide, who was singled out, persecuted, had his civil liberties, his civil rights violated by the deep state, the FBI, their agents or their operatives obstructed justice, committed perjuries, filed false depositions under oath about Carter Page. We're going to be talking to him. He was he's the most investigated man in America right now, except for maybe Donald Trump, and he deserves to get something back because they tried their best to wreck his life and did a pretty good job of it. They don't do a very good job investigating real crime like they commit or the Democrats commit, but they do a pretty good job trying to screw up Republicans.
Well, Howie, what a week it's been, and it's not even Super Friday yet. I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the week because we have so much sound already. I know we played a little bit of this yesterday, but I would like, just because I'm feeling patriotic and I think it's a nice way to start my hour, can we have the Declaration of Independence, Taylor, on cut 20, please?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
You know the thing.
47 years ago, I was in high school.
47 years ago. I don't have to tell you guys. You guys know what I mean. It's just amazing. Biden, and you know, Rush said this today. He said they don't want to use, they didn't want to put all their weight behind Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar because they're both fairly young and they want to use them again. So they're pushing Biden so that he will, he's going to lose if they really steal this election from Bernie, but it doesn't matter because he's just going to wander off into the woods and that's it.
This to is the his, woods? Come on, Grace. He's going to go to the early bird special.
I don't know, Howie. I'm thinking this is more of a dog track situation. All I'm saying is Dr. Jill hasn't been looking out for him as well as she should be. If I, if my husband starts getting up at that age saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident, you know the go the way 30030, I'm going to say, honey, come on, it's over. Let's wrap it up.
I'm hearing the phrase elder abuse in the discussion of the Joe Biden campaign, aren't you?
I would agree with that. I think Tucker Carlson said that yesterday. It's getting really sad. And I don't say that being sarcastic. I mean, Super Thursday, the Declaration of Independence. And I was just saying the other day, if I was on his campaign staff, I would say stay away from specifics. And literally within hours of me saying that, he starts trying to, by memory, quote the Declaration of Independence.
How about this thing last night with comparing Buttigieg to his dead son, which I guess is preferable to being compared to Hunter, right? But still, Buttigieg.
Unless you're
a little,
Hunter, then you're like, Dad. What about me?
Buttigieg looked a little taken aback. Cut 22.
I don't think I've ever done this before, but he reminds me of my son Beau. And I know to, that may not mean much to most people, but to me, it's the highest compliment I could give any man or woman.
I like the way he says, I don't think I've ever done this before. With his short-term memory, how does he know what he has or hasn't done?
See, that one didn't bother me as much. I actually think that seemed more compass mentis than usual. But yeah, he's definitely losing it. I want to talk a little bit about Mike Bloomberg, and I know how you just played some of his cuts talking about his armed security, and he's really always very ill-prepared for these questions. It doesn't even matter if he's the only one on the stage. He doesn't really seem to do a great job. But there's another controversy brewing that I think is more interesting. A video is out of Mike Bloomberg taking a piece of pizza from a box, licking his fingers, and then sticking his hands back in the box. He licks, and he doesn't do a lick like, I'm getting a little tiny bit off. He goes full finger in the mouth, each one, pulls it out, each one, pulls it out, and then sticks his hands back in the box. Taylor and I both watched it today, and it is disgusting.
I've got audio.
Yum, yum, yum. I used to live in Somerville, which is kind of like South Medford, where he's from. That's not even permissible in South Medford to be doing that.
There are just certain rules to civilization at this point in time that we have to abide by, and fully licking your entire hand and then
Grace,
sticking it in a box.
He was ripping the pizza in half sideways and then shoving it down his gullet. He couldn't even take a whole slice of pizza.
Who does he think he is, John Kasich?
In the words of the Palm Beach Queen, Luann de Lesseps, money can't buy you class.
Now I know why the people are texting in. I haven't seen this video yet. They were saying, I'm glad he's on a private jet. The way he eats pizza, I don't want him anywhere near me with this virus going around.
Oh, it was so gross. And the virus is definitely making everyone more sensitive to people's gross habits. But this was truly disgusting. And he's on camera. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know if he doesn't eat pizza a lot. Maybe it's too plebeian for him. But get it together, Mike. Use a fork and knife or just take your piece and then do whatever you want with it. I don't understand the communal box.
Who was the guy who got in a lot of trouble, you know, from social media for trying to use a knife and a fork? Is that that's de Blasio, isn't it?
That's de Blasio, but I would 100% take de Blasio's way of eating it over Bloomberg's.
If you have a really greasy pizza, and I mean greasy in a positive way, a greasy,
oh, no, I know what you mean.
Multiple topping pizza, sometimes you got to use a knife and a fork, don't you?
Yeah, and if it's piping hot, and you really want to get a nice bite of it, yeah, I say use the fork and knife, cool it off. I don't have a problem with that.
No, it depends if it's too hot and you're too hungry and you can't wait, then eat it with a knife and fork. Otherwise, there's no circumstance where you should be eating pizza with a knife and a fork.
Oh, I don't think so. That doesn't bother me. How people choose to eat things doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when it starts to affect my food. Get your little billionaire fingers out of my pizza pie, Mike. I hope you paid for the pizza at the very least.
What about some of these places where they bring in pizza, say on a Friday afternoon, for the entire staff, right? Mm-hmm. Suppose he had walked in and he was, you know, whether he owned the company or not, he had walked in and started eating them out of a box like he was eating them out of. You'd be disgusted, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's like the double dipping the chip in Seinfeld. You can't do that, because if you got the bowl, even, you know, there's another rule about butter. If there's butter on the table and you're using it, you're supposed to take a big chunk of the butter and put it on your plate and go from there. It's like people who roll the corn on the cob on the butter as if it's their own big lob of butter. That's not how it works, people. It's called a community.
Unless that butter is designated for just corn on the cob.
Oh, gosh. No, Taylor.
If we want to have a food conversation, we'll have one.
There's no corn on the cob butter, okay? You put it on your knife.
You put out an extra stick of butter for the corn on the cob.
Barbaric.
I lost a tooth playing football back when I was a teenager, and since then I haven't eaten too much corn on the cob, just to be on the safe side. So I'm going to stay out of this conversation.
You're stay out of this battle. I understand. Right. Howie, when we get back, I have an update on James Comey. He is making
I love this.
A very important endorsement. And also, I also want to talk about Spike Lee. He had a very interesting night at the Knicks game, and some people are saying that his version of the story is fake news. So we'll get to all that on the other side.
We'll be right back. 1-844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
With Simply Safe Home Security's award-winning protection, you'll have a team of security experts ready to dispatch police at a moment's notice. Get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee at SimplySafeHowie.com. That's SimplySafeHowie.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Did Chris Matthews deserve to be fired?
No, he didn't.
66% say he did.
Okay, didn't change much over the course of the hour. 2-1.
I'm going to say, and now are we under the assumption that he got fired because of his creepiness?
Yes.
Then I'm going to say no.
He just irritated enough groups of people, the Warren people, the Bernie bros. He just got caught up in the aftermath of the Me Too movement in NBC. But he was among NBC personnel. He was one of the lesser offenders, was he not?
I'm going to say no. If Joy Reid didn't get fired after her, after that hacker, the time traveling hacker, hacked her website and wrote down really offensive slurs, then I'm going to say that no, Chris Matthews shouldn't have been fired. And I read the article from the woman who said that he was creepy, and guaranteed, if he had said that stuff to me, like, why haven't I fallen in love with you yet? I would definitely put it in the back of my mind and say, okay, he's an old creepy guy. But it was nothing that rose to the level of getting someone fired or even writing something up in GQ and kind of ruining someone's reputation. It was just creepy old guy stuff. Not trying to give him a pass.
She kind of took a victory lap this morning, the woman who wrote the story, Grace, and she was talking about, she made it sound like she's suffering post-traumatic stress disorder now. Come on.
That's what I mean. It's like, you don't have to like him, and you can go to cocktail parties and even tell people, like, oh, he's a creep. But to put it on the level of a Me Too thing when it's just not, and there are plenty of Me Too cases, I think kind of waters down the whole movement. And if now we're just getting people who we don't like or we don't like what they say, that's a dangerous road to go on.
Did you see some of the other stuff he said, though? Grace, let me ask you this. If someone said to you, you'd look great in a wind tunnel, would you like that? Would you take that as a compliment?
I wouldn't take it as a compliment, but it wouldn't offend me to my core. My line is, please do not invade my personal space.
Okay, how about this one? I'll bet you're going to like this one. You've got incredible eyebrows. He said that to a woman.
Yeah, I would love.
Grace takes great pride in her eyebrows.
I do. I spend so long on them.
You'd love that.
I would love that.
You'd think he was a great guy for saying that.
Yeah, I would think he had great taste as well. I would say, you are a man of excellent taste, Mr. Matthews. No, but I just don't find any of... I don't find words to be enough in these situations. Like, people say things all the time that I disagree with or that, you know, make me go, ugh, gosh, I don't really want to be around you, or I'm not going to start telling people what a wonderful person you are. But that is life. That is life. If we start getting people fired for that kind of crap, everybody better watch out, because no matter who you are, everything offends everyone. And I just don't think that this was really worth him getting canned. And also what he said about Bernie Sanders, he apologized, which is way more than any of the hosts that Don Lemon and all those people on CNN. They don't even apologize. They double down.
Grace,
so,
he called, Grace, the last time he was on this show, Chris Matthews, he called me a Pocahontas hater. I mean, I didn't take offense.
But that was the other thing, Howie. I mean, and I'm not trying to throw shade at you at all, but you were, you know, really giving him the needle during that interview, and he was a fairly decent sport about it. He's not a hardo. Like, he said at the end of the interview, oh, I'll come back anytime, brother. He's a rather amiable person, I think.
He is. I think there's no question about that.
And he kind of gives it, but he can take it, and he's a little old school.
Well, he gets it that it's all entertainment.
Right.
Nothing's personal.
Right. So I just don't really have a... I don't really think that this rose to the level. And I don't want to... But at the same time, I will say, do I feel bad for him? No, because this is just a classic case of... This is what they wanted. They've created this environment, this PC mob. They've been behind it the whole time. Everyone was Hitler. Mitt Romney was Hitler. George Bush was Hitler. And guess what? Now the rebellion is eating its own. Robespierre, people. Robespierre.
Right. And he has predicted many times that the walls were closing in and the noose was tightening around Trump. So guess what's happened now? The noose has tightened around Chris, Comrade Chris.
I totally agree, and all his analogies and metaphors. Oh my gosh. If I had to listen to one more comparison to boxing or Rocky or that other guy.
Grace, that was pretty, I think, good when he came up with the Carmen Basilio. I mean, that's an obscure, now obscure fighter from the 50s. That was on the Friday Night Fights, sponsored by Gillette and Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. I mean, he was really showing his age. But you consider that really good,
that he was really showing his age.
And comparing the fights to Emil Griffith, I mean, those are great boxing analogies. I mean, he knew his stuff.
Howie, but if you make 1,000 analogies over the course of your career and you get one right, do you really deserve a round of applause? Do you know how many bad analogies I listened to today? So what about the time he said the virginity thing to Kamala Harris? He said, the way I think executive privilege works is virginity.
That was just stupid.
Once you use it, you can't grab it back. And even Kamala Harris said, I'm not going to go along with that one. You say that to someone, one of the only women running for president.
Yeah, but, you know, 207 has a good point. And yet Joe Biden continues out there sniffing teen girls' hair.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wrote that in my column my first edition column, you know, before we get the results of the Super Tuesday or Super Thursday. And I said, who would have ever thought they'd throw the net over Chris Matthews before they throw the net over Joe Biden? It is kind of a surprise, isn't it?
No, it really is, Howie. And I think it really goes back to the point that when you have these vigorous, perfect standards that everyone has to meet to be these politically correct, non-offensive people, no one's going to pass them. Like, if we really are going based off that Chris Matthews should have been fired, then the whole Democrat Party has a problem, because they've all been accused of things like this or worse.
Right. And, well, if you, whatever crimes, journalistic crimes, not paying taxes crimes, sex crimes, everybody on MSNBC should be gone yesterday. All right. We'll be right back with Carter Page. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Carter Page, as you know, was one of the most persecuted men in America. I think that's safe to say. And he was a foreign policy advisor to future President Trump. His name appeared on a list of advisors, I think, in the Washington Post, and he was sought out, singled out, and hunted down by the deep state in a way to get a FISA warrant to surveil him. And that, by surveilling him, they thought they could get to the emails, the phone records, the texts of higher up members of the Trump administration. And they basically destroyed his life. And now he's been working on a book. It's not out yet, but you can buy it at Amazon. You can order it. Abuse and Power: How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. He gave an interview yesterday to the Daily Caller, and he said that there should be reparations for all the people who were caught up in this hoax, this Russian collusion hoax. So we have him on the line now. Carter Page, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, great to be with you, Howie. Thanks a lot for having me.
That's an interesting word, reparations. I mean, shouldn't you just get file a lawsuit and get a settlement from the federal government?
You know, it's based on the concept which was signed into law by President Reagan in 1988. Yeah, you're probably right, Howie, but I'm concerned about so many. You know, you mentioned the damage that was done to me. I am actually more concerned about so many lives that were destroyed through this complete hoax against, you know, and it really wasn't just me. It was all the way up to President Trump, going back to his candidacy, right? If you look at so many people whose lives were so severely damaged, you know, there was President Reagan signed into law the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which was related to the internment of various innocent Americans.
This, right.
The level of damage that was done to so many other innocent Americans, I'm calling for the Civil Liberties Act of 2020, which will provide you know, compensation to so many lives that were damaged, so many of those other innocent Americans who had so much greater damages done to them. So I'm calling for new reparations in this context.
Are you going to file a lawsuit though against all these deep state agencies that violated all of your rights?
Well, we'll see. You know, I'm looking at various strategies right now, and unfortunately, you know, I think Attorney General Barr is a great patriot, and you know, he wants to do the right thing, but he has a similar situation at the Department of Justice that President Trump has in the White House, right? They're both individuals who try to do the right thing, but they're surrounded by, as we saw in the impeachment hoax, surrounded by hundreds or thousands of deep staters who are, you know, trying to undermine their agenda and trying to undermine doing the right thing. So, yes. You know, I just have some concerns as to that. The nice thing about legislation, you know, if Congress passes something into law, it could streamline a lot of things. And, you know, Congress has their own set of issues. But rather than talking and, you know, going on TV and calling for various steps, this, that, and the other, you know, Congress has the power of the purse. So they can pass legislation and take action, which will get some justice for so many Americans whose lives were damaged.
Have you ever put your business back together, or are you just kind of on the sidelines now?
I'm largely on the sidelines, Howie, because, you know, I think the problem is when you suffered so many death threats, and I'm not the only one. Again, there are a lot of Trump supporters, based on this complete hoax going back to the 2016 election. You know, when you're accused of interfering in an election based on complete lies paid for by the DNC and propagated by their consultants and their, of course, allies in the media, It's really difficult. And, you know, I just think when you can't even go out on the street without getting harassed and, you know,
you do get harassed.
Death threats that so many of us had for a long time.
Do you really get harassed on the street? Do people yell at you or come up to you at restaurants and harangue you?
It's happened over the years. I generally don't go out in public that much, so that has helped to limit it. But, you know, again, I think, and part of the problem is that DOJ and the FBI have not really fully disclosed all the criminal activity that they were and their former colleagues were involved in. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation right now for not only for me, but just so many people going all the way up to President Trump and, you know, other supporters of his campaign several years ago.
How does it make you feel that the guy who took the memo from the CIA that said you were an asset for them in this Russian espionage investigation, and he turned it around to say you were not an asset and to use it as ammunition to get this phony warrant to surveil you? He's still walking around. He not only is he not in prison, he's a lawyer. He hasn't even been disbarred. He hasn't been censured by any bar associations. I don't think he's paid any price whatsoever other than losing his hack job in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. How does that make you feel? I mean, he hasn't suffered anything, basically, has he?
Well, Howie, if you look at the mission of the FBI, that individual, you know, the lawyers I was dealing with, if you look at the mission statement of the FBI, it's on the FBI website. It says our mission is to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution of the United States. You know, protect the American people. Not only did I, you know, me and my lawyers were telling him about the death threats I was getting, and not only did they do nothing about it, but they continued, you know, not protecting us at all. So many other lives were put at risk. I explicitly told them of some of the security threats I was getting, including that FBI lawyer. And not only did they do nothing, but those threats continued for many, many months beyond that.
Are you saying nothing has been done
to rectify the situation?
Carter Page, are you saying you know this guy, Kevin Kleinsmith? You've talked to him?
My lawyers talked to him, and I emailed him, telling him about these death threats. And, you know, and that was all I asked. In March of 2017, I asked for, you know, some assistance in terms of the national security threats that I was facing and the personal death threats that I had been up against. And in April of 2017, those threats continued. I officially notified Mr. Kleinsmith about this, and not only was nothing done, but a couple of weeks or the following week, a week later, in the middle of April 2017, you know, there were more leaks, and the threats continued. And as far as I could tell, nothing was ever done to address this. And again, I've asked for disclosure. I've asked for the truth, just like Congress has asked for the truth, and nothing has been done as of yet.
Did you see today that James Comey, the former director of the FBI, the boss of this guy, Kleinsmith, he tried to endorse Joe Biden? And Joe Biden, as non-compos mentis as he is, even Joe Biden refused the endorsement of James Comey.
Well, look, I mean, this goes back to the, you know, Chairman Grassley and Chairman Graham back in 2018 were trying to get some information about a meeting in early January 2017 between Mr. Comey, and I believe Mr. Biden was there as well, about this unusual meeting that happened in early January of 2017. Going back to this this situation with
I call it the CYA meeting. Susan, is that Rice what you're talking there about? Where they the Susan Rice memorialized?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Trying to get answers to that. So, you know, it's interesting. I can understand why Biden would try to, distance himself from that. But as of yet, nothing has been disclosed.
Do you talk to any of the other people that have been caught up in this this hoax, like a Roger Stone or a Michael Flynn or Jerome Corsi? Do you talk to any of them? Do you have like a support group of victims?
I'm trying to show some support to a lot of people, and this goes back to reparations, Howie. Where, there's so many, this is not just about me. This is about the United States. And again, let's look at the mission statement of the FBI, protect the American people. So many lives were put at risk. So many lives have been destroyed. And, again, the other part of the mission statement of the FBI, uphold the Constitution of the United States. This is so illegal and so unconstitutional. All of these civil rights abuses, human rights abuses, that have still not been rectified.
Now the as you know, the FISA authorizations are about to expire, and Congress has to renew them. This is the FISA court that basically destroyed your life, and supposedly be the foreign intelligence surveillance. But they were coming after you. FISA courts seem to be coming more after Americans who were with Donald Trump than they were going after terrorists. What's your feeling about what should happen to the FISA courts at this point, Carter Page, as a victim?
Well, look, I agree with Congressman Mark Meadows, and he is saying he tweeted, I believe, yesterday, saying rumors still going around that some in D.C. want to tie a clean FISA reauthorization to the coronavirus. I would say this has been more dangerous than the coronavirus. What the Democrats did, so many lives have been put at risk, so many threats to U.S. national security through this election interference paid for by the Democrats and advanced by the corrupt Obama administration, that I believe nothing should be done until this, they get to the bottom of this. And I think, the laziness of some in Congress and the corrupt routine of trying to advance this really questionable, corrupt framework after all the election interference that was done in 2016 and after so many American lives have been put at risk, I think none of that should move forward until we get some justice here.
What would you say to Kevin Kleinsmith specifically, the lawyer who obstructed justice, who falsified documents to continue this illegal surveillance of you, him in particular and the FBI in general? What would you say to those people who made your life a living hell?
Well, I think, I'm not focused specifically on him. I, again, go back to the mission statement of the FBI, to protect the American people. I was not protected. So many lives have not been protected. Yes, there were false statements made in federal court, and that's a big problem. And, yes, we definitely need to get to the bottom of it. But we rely upon the FBI for national security, and that mission has not been fulfilled. And we really need to rebuild the FBI.
Do you think they had the slightest hint or thought that you were a Russian asset? Or was it just totally 100% concocted to get to Donald Trump?
Probably, I think, all the above. I mean, clearly there was a political agenda here, Howie. National security, U.S. national security was put at risk. It remains at risk until we fix this massive problem. I think nothing should be reauthorized on March 15th until we get to the bottom of this. And, the people that have obstructed justice, the obstruction remains today. And so many lives have been put at risk, and our justice system remains in shambles. And I think a lot needs to be done to reconstruct our justice system.
Have you talked to John Durham's team?
I've never met with anyone from that team.
Okay, Carter Page, we really thank you for being with us, and the title of your new book, it's coming out not till the summer, right?
Yes, but it's really going to be help to expose all of these this terrible wrongdoing, which was done to our country and so many lives that were damaged.
Affected.
So hopefully
right.
This will be a step in the right direction in terms of exposing that.
And you can order the book now. You can pre-order Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. Thanks so much for being with us, Carter Page. And we appreciate what you've been
Thank
through.
Thank you, as always, Howie.
Thank you. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
So there's this nutty city councilwoman in Denver, Candy C. DeBaca. I don't know how, it's a weird name, C. DeBaca. And she saw a tweet on Friday from a woman who said, "For the record, if I do get the coronavirus, I'm attending every MAGA rally I can, Make America Great Again." And so this elected official in Denver retweeted it with hashtag solidarity, yes. Really. And so now many people are demanding that she resign, and said that authorities should be contacted. The Colorado Republican Party has echoed those calls for her resignation. But she just says it's a, I guess it's a joke, right? I don't know. This is what, rather than conservative outlets making a four-day-old tweet their focus on Super Tuesday, they should focus their energy on demanding a competent federal response to this public health crisis. This is what her spokeswoman is saying. You're on the Denver City Council and you have a spokeswoman. Must have a pretty good budget. Bert, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bert.
Hey, Howie, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Dems are rallying around Biden, not because they want him as president, but they want who he would pick as vice president. And I think he'd pick Michelle Obama.
I know that's a conspiracy theory, basically, Bert, that's gathering some steam on the Internet. But I don't think she's interested. You think she really wants to go to ribbon cuttings and preside over these kinds of meetings like Pence is presiding over to discuss coronavirus or anything else? I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.